Okay, well, good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. Like she said, I'm Madison Reithman, and I'm with Clark County Public Health. I'm also a CST Applied Epidemiology Fellow. So today I'm going to be talking a little bit about an epidemiological assessment that we did at my host site over STDs in Clark County, Washington. So just for those of you who don't know, to give kind of a background, Clark County is located in southwest Washington, just directly north of and really a part of the Portland metropolitan area. Our local health jurisdiction is medium-sized, serves about 460,000 people who are pretty evenly divided between the county's more incorporated and unincorporated, more rural regions. And really, since 2014, Clark has really experienced a significant increase in our STD rates. You can see here that we've seen an over 20% increase in that time frame in chlamydia and syphilis, as well as an 83% increase in gonorrhea. Additionally, in 2016, we identified two congenital syphilis cases, which actually, based on our population as a relatively small area, was the highest rate of congenital syphilis in the state of Washington for that year. Additionally, more recently, we've identified similar trends in even smaller nearby low-resource communities. So this is not something that we're seeing isolated just in Clark County. It's really things that we've seen spreading, and we kind of wanted to see what was going on. So in order to do that, what we decided to do was kind of just paint a picture of what was going on in STDs in Clark County. We wanted to see who was getting them, how that's changed over time, and how we can best respond to that with public health practice. You know, especially as a medium-sized local health jurisdiction, really smart evidence-based allocation of what limited resources we have is absolutely vital in responding to something like this appropriately. So this was the first step that we decided to take in that. So with that, we collected data from the Washington State Public Health Information Management System, or PHIMS, from 2014 to 2016, which consisted of STD reports from providers as well as labs, and follow-up case interviews, which are conducted by our disease intervention specialists for all gonorrhea cases, all syphilis cases, as well as a subset of our chlamydia cases, specifically among MSM and pregnant women. We were able to examine 15 demographic risk factors, as well as conduct an extended gonorrhea analysis to kind of respond to that large increase that we saw. And the results of this were really valuable in not only discussing at our local level, but as well as with other jurisdictions in the Portland metro area and the state, because we all know that these increases in STDs is not isolated to just one community. So as much as I would love to stand up here and talk about the results of all 15 of those risk factors, I'm pretty sure they'd kick me off the stage. So what I'm going to do is instead kind of just go through some of the things that we found particularly informative in responding to the results that we saw through this. And the first of those is age group. Age we derived based on date of diagnosis. And as most of you probably know, you see this kind of progression from chlamydia to gonorrhea to syphilis. As age goes on as well, you usually see chlamydia at a younger age or maybe as somebody's first STD diagnosis, and then you get into gonorrhea and syphilis later in life. And while that trend held up here, one of the interesting things we saw was a shift to a younger age group among our gonorrhea and syphilis cases. You can see there that in 2014, a majority of our gonorrhea was in 25 to 34-year-olds, but by 2016, that had really shifted to 15 to 24-year-olds. And a similar trend was seen in syphilis as well, where it shifted from age 35 to 44 to really a younger age group to 25 to 34-year-olds. So we noted that we're seeing these more complex diseases in younger individuals. Sexual preference was also something we looked at, and we used that term to differentiate from reported sexual orientation, which was a figure that we had, but we wanted to include anybody who had, so in the MSM category, we wanted to include anybody who had some sort of sexual contact with another male, regardless of whether they identify as straight. And what we saw here was relatively surprising that we were really seeing a decreasing burden in our MSM population. In 2014, for gonorrhea and syphilis, a majority of our MSM or of our disease was reported among MSM individuals. But then you can see that transition in 2016 for gonorrhea, where we actually saw more cases among men who have sex exclusively with women and women who have sex exclusively with men. And syphilis, this is even more apparent, where in 2014, 78% of our syphilis was reported in MSM, and that greatly decreased with an increase in syphilis among the heterosexual populations. Drug use was another thing that we found particularly interesting. We ask about drug use in our gonorrhea and syphilis follow-up interviews. So this is all self-report data. But one of the things that we found particularly interesting was this huge increase in the amount of drug use that was reported. You know, the fact that we had nearly 44% of our interviewees report that they used some sort of drug was, you know, kind of startling to us, and that's something that we're looking forward to looking into more to see kind of what is going on among our drug user population that has shown this increase in STDs. So I had mentioned that we did kind of this extended gonorrhea analysis to respond to what we've seen with that disease, and I just want to touch on some of the highlights of it here. Back in 2014, before my time, what we did was Clark County did kind of a month-by-month analysis, seeing the number of cases that we had reported by month. They calculated out a two-year mean for the number of cases reported per month, as well as a threshold for kind of identifying months or clusters where we see more activity, which was one standard deviation above that two-year mean. So what we did at the end of 2016 in conducting this extended gonorrhea analysis was repeat exactly what we did with the following 2 years. And while they might look similar, you can tell that the scales are different. In the first 2013-2014 analysis, the mean was about 15 cases per month with peaks around 31. And then in the 2015-2016 analysis, our mean had actually jumped to 27 cases per month with a peak in August 2016 of 51 cases reported that month, which was a huge. So it really showed us that this is a continuing problem we want to address. In addition to that, one of the other things we did with the gonorrhea analysis was map it out so that we could kind of see where these gonorrhea cases are clustering in the county. And you can see kind of this increase darkening right in the south central part of Clark County there, which is actually just over the river from the Portland metro area and is Vancouver, which is the more kind of the city center of Clark County. So we've talked about all of this. We did this whole analysis, and we've talked about all of this data, but what I really like to talk about is what we're doing as in response to that, because at the local level, that's kind of the whole point of this. You know, we were able to really derive this better picture of STD burden and identify who was getting STDs, but what we really wanted to do was make sure that our services and our response to it was appropriate for what we were seeing. So back in March, all of our DIS and STD staff were trained by the CDC. They came up to Clark County and were able to conduct a training for all of our staff, as well as the county supports an STD clinic in partnership with a local nonprofit, and they were able to make some changes to the clinic, which used to see exclusively men who have sex with men. And based on the results here, they kind of open things up to people, even though they still primarily see MSM individuals. It's now open to a lot more people regardless of gender identity or sexual orientation. In addition, we just completed the data collection phase of an assessment at our county-sponsored syringe exchange, which was gonna try to help assess for healthcare gaps in needs that are reported among our intravenous drug user populations. And we are also just starting up an expedited partner therapy improvement project, which is focused on outreach to providers to educate them and promote recommendations of EPT to the appropriate individuals, which should hopefully help address the increase in chlamydia and gonorrhea that we've seen in the heterosexual population. I mentioned that there are other nearby areas that are more low resource that are seeing similar trends. So what we're hoping is that this analysis, whether in method or in actual result, will be applicable to them and help them to be able to respond to the STD increases they're seeing in their community. As well as we are initiating getting a new statewide surveillance system this year through MAVIS, and that is going to have an increased capability of doing things like sexual network tracking and partner tracking and things like that. And that's all, and really the whole response to this is all with the intent of being able to be proactive instead of reactive in our response to STDs, because that's the only way we're going to be able to stop something like this in its tracks. So with that, I want to acknowledge our awesome communicable disease team at Clark County Public Health who made this all possible, as well as CST and CDC and CSTE for funding my position and making it possible for me to participate this in the first place. Thank you very much.